Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
We're among the we're in the top 100 somewhere.
We just got our results. We're doing very well.
Yeah, actually,
just in time for a big breakup. So the Beatles.
It's Tom Bowerly.
He was just like, did anyone back? He thought he was just going to charm his way through a belch.
And David Bellavia.
Rest assured that history will remember you as maybe a little gay.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia.
That is awesome.
Well, yesterday
someone's
going
to be really disappointed.
On News Radio 930 WBEN.
We are talking about social media. You can give us a call, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. Someone, very intrepid texter here, 30930, someone wrote that people who go on Facebook Live when they're trapped or need help, that is a perfect example of social media saving lives and working well. How many times did you hear, there was a story years ago, it was 4 years, 3 years ago, where a guy like flipped his car upside down. The water was filling in. The car was filling with water. He somehow used Siri or some Android, you know, voice feature to call 911. Got help because of whatever it was. There's another situation where people have used Facebook Live in real time to let law enforcement know what's going. Good things, right? But again, it's not social media as a platform that is evil, right? It's people who manipulate that. It's the same. You make the same argument about social media that a pro Second Amendment, which is just a stupid saying. How do you not support the Second Amendment? I pick and choose what I like in the Bill of Rights. I only support 9 of the 10. But if you want to make the argument that, you know, a gun is a tool, people will use that tool in any way that they wish. Some are evil, some are decent, some are brave, some are cowards, whatever the case may be. It's the same thing with social media. There's an article in Medium.com that was written in March of 2018, and the writer is Jordan Greenhall, and talks about how in social media, there are 4 foundational problems with social media, especially with people under the age of 21. And these 4, according to Jordan, who wrote this article on Medium.com, says there's super normal stimuli replacing strong link community relationships with weak link affinity relationships, and training people on complicated rather than complex environments, and the asymmetry of human-AI relationships. Well, that's all fancy talk, right? Here's what the problem is. There is so much there that you can't focus, and you're going 100 miles a minute, and one person's talking about their dinner, and another person is taking a picture of what their dog did when they took the dog out for a walk. Another person over here wants to talk politics. Another person over here is in a bikini. And 9 times out of 10, you stop at the bikini photo, right? So if there is a positive thing about Facebook, and that's what we're asking you. Call us at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. We've heard all the negative things about social media. What are the positive things? What have you done with social media that you say, yeah, I could not have done this? Maybe it's a business. I'll tell you, that Facebook garage sale feature, people are getting rid of junk, and they're doing it in their communities. They throw it up on Facebook, they get money for it, people are happy, and they're cleaning out, they're decluttering their lives using Facebook. There's also folks that will tell you that I love keeping my tabs on people I used to know that I really don't want to know again. I don't necessarily want to have a conversation with a kid I sat with in earth science in 9th grade, but it's good to know that he's doing well and he's happy and his kids are beautiful and he's doing well in Seattle, Washington, whatever the case may be. You're able to keep track on people from afar. Maybe I know a lot of people that use Facebook to spy on their own kids. They have fake profiles, which, by the way, you know, hopefully you don't have a relationship where you have to spy on your children, but you know what? You might end up finding out some information that you need, and that information ends up making your kids better, saving their lives, whatever the case may be. But awareness, information, it can be manipulated. It can be abused. Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of clinical psychologists are going to write tons of papers and put all this fancy stuff out there. But the idea that everything on Facebook is about liking, right? There's no negative. For a long time, you couldn't use a thumb down on anything. It was just, I like this, and I want to tell you what I like. But now you know, someone gets on your social media thread and they throw a dagger at you and 18 people like it. You know, have you ever been attacked on Facebook and more people liked the attack than actually liked the post? That's a sign. Are you one of those people that delete your stuff too? Matt Drudge talks about cleaning out his Twitter page every day. You just let it go away. Snapchat, the big feature on Snapchat, of course, is that goes away into the abyss. But, of course, nothing is in the abyss on the internet. But the other thing is that when someone's trying to take a screenshot of whatever you sent them, you're made aware that someone is stockpiling pictures of your naked body or whatever you use Snapchat for. So, you know, the consumer understands sort of what's going on here. I am sure that Facebook and social media have somehow created a great relationship, that there is a relationship out there that met on Facebook, that are wildly in love with each other, have crazy, wonderful experiences, and beautiful children. I'm sure someone got a job from Facebook. LinkedIn, for example, that's a sponsor of ours. LinkedIn, totally, it's Facebook for professionals, essentially. Not as many nudes that you'll see on LinkedIn. But everything is about jobs, networking, getting out there. We're now, you know, the whole ad campaign with LinkedIn currently revolves around hiring people off LinkedIn. But the idea that, you know, is all social media bad? I know people that have gotten six-figure jobs by random direct messages on LinkedIn. I saw you work for this company. I saw what you do. I've looked at your resume. Why don't you come in and talk to us? Next thing you know, they're vice president of a department. Happens all the time. These are positive stories. What are your positive stories about social media? Enough of the negative. Someone accosted me on Facebook. Someone came to my home and beat me up, and I don't want to hear it. I want to hear positives, because social media is a platform. It could be abused, or it could be used for the force of good. I talked about a colleague of ours that we work with. One of his dearest friends passed away, and Facebook allowed an opportunity to memorialize someone he cared about, and do it in a way that as many people who love this guy could go and also read what the obituary was, read that there was a loss, hear this friend emote his loss for his friend, and at the same time chime in with, I like that guy too. That was a really good man. He was a great father. He was a great human being, and we're all better for having known him. Those are all the positives that can come from Facebook. And I'm sure, you know, the negatives, we can go on all day. People fake their identities on Facebook. Absolutely. And people don't say things to people because, you know, let's be honest, confrontation is awkward. It's weird to look someone in the eye and say how you feel, right? But in a weird way, the lack of confrontation has almost forced us to get back to, I see more people unplugging from social media and enjoying their lives again, because for the last 10 years, this is what we've been occupied with. It literally has taken over everything. You know, I got two youngins in the next room there, millennials, Phil and Sean. How often do you spend your day as a 20-something on social media?
It depends. Here, I'm on Twitter mainly just because I'm looking for breaking news and stuff like that.
Right.
To see what's going on in the world. On the weekends, I kind of try and set my phone aside and not look at social media as much.
Because it promotes procrastination.
Exactly. You can sit there and look at it for 4 hours.
You can go into a hole. YouTube, there's nothing like YouTube. You can go into a void in the deepest, darkest regions of the universe in YouTube. And you're just... link after link, you're watching dogs play poker, you're watching, you know, the original Beatles at Shays. I mean, they're everything. I watch, one of the things I am powerless to, I have to watch every season review of the Buffalo Bills from like 1965 on. I love to see the old videos of the Bills and the, you know, they have some guy with a Betamax sat there and recorded all the games in the 70s and they put them up on YouTube. I love watching old, you know, Buffalo Bills highlights. I love the sports that you get off YouTube. But at the same time, you know, you can find yourself in a black hole and nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. And the other side of it is, you know, your privacy. To me, when people talk about the lack of privacy that's on social media, I actually think it reminds us of the definition. I don't think people know what privacy is today. I think the fact that we're so exposed on social media, and we've seen in the news how people manipulate that, companies manipulate that, political parties manipulate it. Now we're finding out foreign countries manipulate that. Go figure, right? Talking about social media, the positives, the good things that we could do with social media, enough of the negative nonsense. First of all, friends, how many of these people are really your friends? I mean, it's a nice little term to use, but the fact is they're not really your friends. I mean, you could have 5,000 quote-unquote friends. They're not, there's probably a handful of people that you can count on that are your Facebook friends, correct? And now someone just wrote that someone loves to enjoy learning about Native American history on Facebook, the politics on Facebook. Social media is like trying to talk to someone who's on the toilet going to the bathroom. I don't know what that means, but that is a texter that wrote into the program, 30930. YouTube, to me, is the biggest distraction of all. It's not so much about other people and other pictures. It's just you have everything there. And I thought it was going to hurt, you know, the fact that the different companies, the people that own the catalogs of all this media were going to pull it off YouTube. It just made people more creative. Now people just take a camera and film The Godfather and said, come at me, Warner Brothers, what are you going to do?
And music charts now count YouTube plays on the charts. It's no longer just radio plays.
So it doesn't matter how big a hit it is, doesn't matter how many you sell, because really, who's selling? No one's selling albums. They're not even recording albums anymore. It's just singles.
That's why you had songs like Gangnam Style and stuff that got so huge because it got a billion plays on YouTube.
That's right. And you also see a disproportionate amount, you know, some of these other countries that, you know, for whatever reason, they restrict people's access on the internet. It puts them, you know, basically in a cone where they're put in a spot where they can only go to so many sites and that, you know, manipulates all that good stuff. Do you remember in the very beginning of American Idol, there were, you know, you made the phone call to vote and there were these machines that people were spending like tons of money on to try to, you know, meddle with American Idol. Before there was Russian meddling going on, there was American Idol meddling and people were trying to, you know, have their guy win by having a computer just send thousands of calls so that, you know, their guy won, Clay Aiken. That was
and
your guy?
It didn't even work.
It didn't even work for Clay Aiken either. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about social media. I only want to hear your positive things. Stay on hold, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We will, because the negatives, you go on and on about negatives. That's all you hear is negatives. When have you ever heard someone talk about I'm so glad for Facebook I found out this, or thank God I met, you know, adoptions, people that are adopted, they find their families. The idea that you can go and take a genetic test now and find out all of this stuff, these platforms and, you know, let me tell you, without Facebook, I wouldn't know anyone's birthday. I have no idea whose birthday is. Facebook tells me every day to go and wish someone a happy birthday. Without Facebook, I would not know anyone's birthday. So, Zuckerberg, thank you for stealing your college friend's idea because that helps me. Welcome back to Bowerly and Bellamy. Just give you a recap what you may have missed while you were at work or you're driving home. You know, the Trump Russia thing. If you thought that story was going away, not by a long shot. The news media is going to do. They're going to make their hits. They're going to take swings at President Trump. That's not a shock to anyone who's watched this election for been in America for the last 2 years. The shock to me are all of these folks. None of these Republicans voted for Donald Trump, by the way. None of them. They're all in the Senate. Majority of them in the Senate. Here's Lindsey Graham talks about Dan Coats and Donald Trump when he, the big controversy now is whether or not Donald Trump, according to Cecilia Vega from our own ABC News, that's who gives ABC News' White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega, is claiming that the President of the United States said no when asked if Russia was still a threat. And the White House is saying that no, actually what he was saying no to was no more questions. But Cecilia Vega, well, here's what she had to say.
He was answering my question. He looked right at me. I asked point blank, do you believe that Russia is still interfering and targeting the United States? And he said no. And then he's thank you, no. And then the Wranglers tried to usher us out of the room. And I went back and I asked again. And he again said no. Thank you very much.
By the way, that is a new phenomenon where the Wranglers have to usher the media out of the room because they're climbing over the couches, they're shoving cameras. I mean, they're rabid. They have to fight. They feel that there is chum in the water, that they've drawn blood on Donald Trump, and now is the time to go for the jugular. That's what they think is happening. Lindsey Graham, he's helping out. He's saying, hey, I heard Cecilia Vega pressed him twice on the questions. Here's what he said.
I believe Dan Coats when he says the warning lights are blinking red. For us to ignore this is political malpractice.
Political malpractice. That's what Lindsey Graham is talking about right now. Bob Corker, another Republican. He's from Tennessee in the Senate. He's no fan of Donald Trump. Here's what he had to say about Donald Trump.
I think just the signal that this sends to our intelligent folks who absolutely believe they're attempting to meddle in our elections is very demoralizing.
Well, Cecilia Vega, who is the reporter that asked Donald Trump if Russia was still a threat, she filed the story here. She's a senior White House correspondent for ABC News.
Not one single person in the intelligence community has come out to publicly praise the president privately. In fact, they've been...
By the way, is that now the new standard where people in the intelligence community have to praise the president? Correct me if I'm wrong, but educate me on how the chain of command works. When have you ever heard a CEO or anyone's, you know, nobody at General Motors is praising the local General Motors facility here for making lithium ion batteries that could power construction equipment. No one is praising the CEO at GM for these jobs in Buffalo. When does that become the standard that people all of a sudden have to praise publicly praise the president on what happened in the last 24 hours? Listen. We understand what's happening here. This is a good old-fashioned goose pile. We think we got the president. Let's exploit it. Let's bleed it out. Let's make it a news story all week, and hopefully it'll end with his resignation.
Not one single person in the intelligence community has come out to publicly praise the president privately. In fact, they've been completely aghast over his performance that they witnessed in Helsinki. The one official comment we do have from Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, he says it's crystal clear there is no question Russia did meddle in the 2016 election. Perhaps most importantly, he says their threats to undermine our democracy are ongoing.
Now, where the hell have you been for the last, I don't know, since the Bolshevik Revolution? I mean, has there ever been a time where we looked, you know, and said, you know, the Russians, man, we're so glad they're on our side? Of course the Russians aren't on our side. I mean, do you honestly believe? We're forgetting the fact that this president of the United States was just at a NATO summit talking about Russia, putting pressure on other NATO allies to stop making side deals with Russia because it's undermining the alliance at NATO. Why would you do that if you didn't think that Russia was... Now, whether or not Russia meddled in the election or whether or not you believe that's the case, it doesn't matter when you're commander-in-chief and you're getting briefings every day on Russian aggression and you're matching that on the chessboard. If this president didn't think Russia was a threat, why would he be moving divisions all across Europe? What do you mean? What do you think is going to happen to the soldiers that are going to leave the Korean Peninsula? Are they going to resign for the military? Is that what happens when you close the DMZ? And if Korea is to be unified, do you think the soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen are just going to, what, leave the military? No, of course not. They're going to be put in other areas where they're needed. And you don't think that... You can see our strategy right now with NATO. We're flexing against Vlad Putin. With kinetic forces, we are flexing against the Russians, and yet the entire narrative here is that you want us to believe, Cecilia Vega, that Donald Trump is wearing a babushka and goose-stepping in Red Square. And the great irony, of course, is that the last president all but admitted to doing that. That the last Barack Obama, in his own narrative, in his own book, talks about his affinity for socialism. Hillary Clinton wrote a white paper. Her senior thesis is on Saul Alinsky and the power of this is what the left is consisted of. Now you are going to lecture us. Democrats are going to lecture conservatives on the importance of being tough against Russia. I mean, the whole thing is insane. But that's what you missed. You asked for it. We gave it to you. Here's one little side note. Cecilia Vega, she was, by the way, dominating ABC News right now. She had another filed story on Trump derangement syndrome.
The president this morning is tweeting again, defending himself and his performance. He says, quote, "Some people hate the fact that I got along well with President Putin of Russia. They would rather go to war than see this. It's called Trump derangement syndrome." The president's own director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, has publicly rebuked the president's performance. He says Russia did indeed meddle in the 2016 election, and in fact, that threat to our democracy is still ongoing.
You realize, though, that Dan Coats never publicly rebuked the president's performance. That statement, publicly rebuked, that's what Cecilia Vega, that's her narrative. Those are her words. What Dan Coats said, Dan Coats was asked the question, did Russia meddle in the 2016 election? Dan Coats said, without a doubt, Russia meddled in the 2016 election. How you can then take that as a public rebuke. So basically, Dan Coats is saying, I can't serve for the President of the United States as Director of National Intelligence because he made a misstatement between would or wouldn't, or he doesn't believe in the president's strategy. Do you believe that anyone would join a cabinet to a person who felt that Russia was an ally or that Russia was on our side? I mean, again, it's just this is a Rip Van Winkle lesson on history. It's only for people who have been asleep for 45 years and have totally forgotten what the platform of the Democratic Party is every time they're elected into the Oval Office. Every time there is a majority leader in the House of Representatives or a House leader that is a Democrat, we see a completely different look at the world. But now you want to believe that the Democrats are hawks, right? Democrats are hawks. Republicans are chicken hawks. They're cowards. But if you boil it down to the bare bones, you know what you got? You've got people that are talking about tariffs. Not even a week ago, we had people screaming in the streets that Donald Trump was going to tariff China, and we thought, oh my God, he's going to bring us into a trade war. He's going to bring us into a kinetic firefight. George W. Bush, all he wants to do is invade. He just wants to invade and kill people. That's what George Bush wants, right? But when Donald Trump wants to talk to the other side, that was the entire point of the reset button with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Don't you remember that? Does anyone recall that we have to have a better relationship with Russia? Evidently, they don't. Because now it's all about Donald Trump. There was other news in the world. No one seemed to want to cover it. But on the North Korean front, here is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
The North Koreans reaffirmed their commitment to denuclearize. We're making progress along the border to get the return of remains, a very important issue for those families.
And Cecilia Vega also wanted to point out that Donald Trump not only believes that his use of would instead of wouldn't is a misstep, he believes that the meeting with Putin was a success. Here's more Cecilia Vega.
The president may have walked back his Helsinki comments, but he is now back to defending his performance. He calls his meeting with Putin a great success, saying that only the media are saying otherwise. He seems to be forgetting the near universal backlash that he's received for that performance, even from allies in his own party.
You know, what's funny is that as we're talking about Bob Corker, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, even Mitt Romney of all people, running around talking about Donald Trump and how embarrassing this is. Now we've gotten to the point where we're now representatives of the intelligence community. All these senators, all these members of the House of Representatives, they're worried about the fragile morale of the intelligence community. The great thing about the intelligence community is that that morale, we were told that, you know, if you work for the FBI or you're in the NSA or the CIA, you're doing your job every day. Nobody cared about morale when they presented evidence that Hillary Clinton had an illegal server and had classified information on that server. And they found that that information went to a third party nation, that a country got a hold of classified information on that server. You want to talk about demoralizing? Demoralizing are all the people that worked to build a case against Hillary Clinton, and we're told for political reasons it's not good enough. But according to Bob Corker, people want to quit the intelligence community because of what Donald Trump said.
I think just the signal that this sends to our intelligent folks who absolutely believe they're attempting to meddle in our elections is very demoralizing.
Hey, you know, it's great. Give us a call, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. Text us at 30930. Bob Corker says it's demoralizing for anyone to in the intelligence community right now to serve their country, because Donald Trump obviously has just completely thrown everything off its axis. We will hurl into the sun because of what he said with Vlad Putin. And again, we're completely forgetting, you want to talk about demoralizing. How about when you lose 250 people in a combat unit bleeding on a street in a foreign area that Democrats and Republicans sent you to fight a war on based on false intelligence? And then when ISIS parades in there, what do? You cede that ground. You say, it's not worth it. That was a bad war. It's an unpopular war. We don't want to talk about Iraq anymore. That's demoralizing. Being told that your war was the war of choice, the war that was based on lies, Afghanistan's the good war, all that good stuff, that's demoralizing. A president saying that, you know what, meddling, not meddling, do your job. If you don't like your job, quit your job. No one is holding a gun to your head working for the CIA. I don't believe any of this. This is an opportunity to swing as hard as they possibly can so that maybe, just maybe, they get this guy out of office. You want to join the program, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We're doing a quick recap of what we talked about earlier in case you're getting out of work and you're in your car, you're in traffic, whatever the case may be. We're going to give you an update on traffic if you're in one of those log jams that back up to Eggert Road or anywhere else on the roads home. Alan Harris will give you that in a minute. Let's go to Chris in Buffalo. Chris, you're on WBN. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. You know, all good points. One of the things that really bothers me with the media analysis and the points that are made is there's never any specific definition of what constitutes the meddling. And the degree matters. I mean, are we talking about just a few guys, you know, maybe spending $100,000 on some internet articles to try to influence people? Or are we talking about, you know, actual votes being manipulated? The media would lead you to think that
Hey, you're breaking up. I'm going to put you on hold, Chris. I'm going to do traffic, and maybe your signal's better. We'll get right back to you, Chris, in Buffalo. But let's get back to Chris in Buffalo, see if that cell phone signal's worked out. How you doing, Chris?
Good. You know,
awesome.
Things that bothers me about this analysis is that the media never gives you the specifics of what constitutes the meddling, and the specifics matter. Are we talking about just maybe, you know, 12 guys writing a few articles and spending $100,000?
Well, thank you for bringing up the Facebook ad buy. That was a $100,000 ad buy. And that's supposed to have affected the outcome of the election.
And exactly correct. There's no discussion of the degree. It's assumed that this $100,000 equates, or they want you to think, that there was this massive change in the vote that somehow affected the election. And when you think of it in terms of the actual degree, even if what you accept, even if you accept everything they say as true in terms of the actual facts, it doesn't make sense, the entirety of the argument that they're trying to make.
Hey, you know, Chris, interesting point that you bring up. First of all, we're using a Scooby-Doo term in meddling. There's no law that you're breaking. I'm not going to go to the DA of Erie County and charge someone with first degree meddling. How do you meddle? Well, who meddled? Who are the people? By the way, why wouldn't you seal that indictment. Why would you open it up so that if you're living somewhere in Norway and you're now there's an open indictment for you in the United States, the chances of you getting back anywhere where there's an extradition, they're done. They're not going to, no one's going to take you off the streets in Norway and bring you up on charges. And by the way, who's to say that that's even going to stick? I mean, a grand jury, Mueller got a grand jury together, got a bunch of Russians. You guys are responsible for all of this stuff, and that solves the problem? I mean, whether or not you want to believe that it was 50 Russians, it was 1,000 Russians, or it was the ghost of Abe Lincoln that meddled in the 2016 election, what have you done to avoid it in the future? It was the slowest moving freight train, allegedly, according to Barack Obama, according to John Brennan, according to James Clapper. All these people said everyone knows it. It was quite obvious. It was so, it was this giant Zeppelin moving into New York City. Well, you didn't do a thing about it. Why didn't you? You want to blame Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? You want to blame the Republicans, who, by the way, at this time, they were bleeding on a field playing softball while this scandal was breaking. And at that same time, the Justice Department was re-upping their FISA warrants to continue to eavesdrop on what was going on with people close to Donald Trump.
All good points. I mean, that's exactly correct. It's really it's all presented as either an all or nothing thing. There's no real definition of meddling. It's just meddling means that it's the most sinister of things that could have taken place in the media's eyes, and you really have to look at the facts. And
facts seem to be few and far between, but you seem to have a pretty good grasp on those facts, Chris. Thanks for calling in, making the show better. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris in Buffalo hitting a ground rule double. Could have been a triple if I would have let him talk a little longer. Unfortunately, the breaks are coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.